Good evening and welcome to the Temple, the official Mayan Factor podcast. I am Brian the Mayan and I'm going to be your host this evening. There's something that I really wanted to do with this show. I wanted to bring people on who weren't in the band. I can't say they weren't necessarily part of the band, though. These are folks who supported us, some right from the beginning, some partway through, but they were integral to who we were and us being able to do what we did. Some folks supported us by coming out to shows. Some folks gave some of us places to stay. These were folks who were as much Mayans as we were in the band. Tonight I have one of these folks with us. Tonight, welcome Bryna Salimi to the Temple.
But I listened to the first couple of ones that you did, but since then I haven't been able to, even though I've wanted to, and I actually honestly have. There have been a couple where I'm like, especially when new lead singer guy.
Lenny.
Was on there. I would have liked to hear his.
So you fall into the same dilemma that I have and relationship that I have with my Apple products, where Apple is like, you have to do it my way or no way, so screw you.
Oh, yeah, basically. And so, of course, me, I'm like, okay, fine, fuck you. I'm not doing it at all. Just listen to me over here with my unlimited Spotify for $9.99 a month, you fucker. So, you know, I think I'm giving the ultimate fuck you to the man, but, you know.
Well, I have a tenuous relationship with my Apple products. I like them, but I hate the fact that they're like, do it my way or no way.
No, won't buy, like, and both of my kids, they have iPhones. I'm like, nope. You dicked me over when you got rid of the iPod. I'm just done with you. I'm so done. Out of all the money I dumped into them, and then the lengths I had to go to convert that library into readable files for my Droid, fuck Apple.
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine. Like, I took all of my CDs and Joellen's CDs and burned them all to my computer so that I could put them on my, I guess, my iPhone. Like, it's an amazing amount of music that we had on CD. I couldn't imagine, like, all of a sudden I don't have an Apple product and now I have to figure out how to use something else.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm just like, I don't support Apple in any way, shape, or form except for the fact that both my Apple children have Apple products.
That's not nice. I mean, you know.
You know, fuck those guys. But they both have iPhones. They love them, but, you know, and there's a part of me that's like, I feel like that's being a slave to man. The world is really racing.
A scenario. Thank you for being in the Temple tonight.
Oh, you're very welcome. Glad to be here.
This evening, we have Bryna Salimi in the Temple, and she was a fan for a lot of years, a big supporter of all of us, right from the very beginning.
From the very beginning.
How did you hear about the band? Like, where do you enter this story?
True story, or you want me to, you know?
I mean, you can lie. Like, you could make up some.
No, I'm not going to lie. I was single, and I was on a dating website that was popular at the time, circa, you know, 2000, 2001, I guess. Chuck, Mr. Percussionist over there, used to be quite the ladies' man.
And used to be.
He basically went onto those sites to get chicks to go to his shows. It worked. So that's the true story. That's how I became a fan, actually.
So I think if I remember right, my memory is pretty fuzzy. Was it the Royal? Was that like the first couple times you came out? Was it the Royal?
For the Monday night things, that was. But I actually went. My very first show was your CD release.
Oh wow!
Yeah, that was the first one, and then I didn't go for a while because I didn't even get to talk to Chuck. at that show because, you know, obviously, see, really pretty busy guy, right? And, of course, he's networking with all the other women that he has brought into the fold. So,
who's the ladies' man?
I thought I went with no one. I knew no one. I just kind of went, and I fell in love with the band during the set. I really, really did. And I will not lie, it was a combination of watching you and Ray Ray on stage. I was just like, oh, damn, I love this band. And I just started coming out every week. And even after that, I'm like, when's the next show? And Chuck would be like, well, I don't know. We've got open mic night, you know, if you want it. And I was like, okay, where is it? I'm coming. And I did. I turned into that chick that went even for open mic night.
Well, I can remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's just, and my memory's fuzzy back that way. There's a lot of alcohol and drugs.
I do the same thing, too.
You know, but you showed up, and then you were just there, like, for everything. Like, like you just came on the scene, and then you were always there.
I was. I did kind of turn into the band mom for a while. I think it was kind of torn between me and Maria for being band mom.
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say. All the local shows and even the shows that were out a little ways. Like it seemed like you were always there.
Oh, and it's funny because recently you're like, oh yeah, it's like 3 hours away in Virginia. It's like 3 hours away in Pennsylvania. I'm like, okay, this old dog can't handle that. So like back in the day, I was like, oh, a show in Philly at Blue Fest? Sure, I'm there. Woo! We'd be going out to, where was it? Because you do all the music on Dewey Beach. Me and Maria, every year, we'd be like, okay, road trip.
I mean, to be fair, you know, it's not 10 years ago. Life is a lot different now. You know, it's not...
Okay, all right, 15 years ago.
15 years ago. Okay, there we go. It's not
15 years ago is fair and accurate.
But, I mean, still, you're pretty faithful. Like, you came out to all this stuff. You know, and even, like the open mic nights that we were hosting, you know, at Paloma's or at the Mojo's. Like, you were always there. Like, it was... And not only that, you were bringing people. Like, to me, that was... That was really cool. Like it was.
Well,
like,
the other thing that I think maybe was more jarring in that time than it is now was just because now you got like Facebook. Even then, towards the end, you had MySpace or whatever. But in the very beginning, all we had were the band boards.
Yeah, that's right.
Like you used to go out and post on boards to try and get people to come out to shows. And you don't have that anymore. You do a little event on Facebook and you invite all your friends and hope they show up or... You know, you send a snap, you know, trying to, you know, entice people to come in once you're already there. But back in the day, that was a huge part of promotion was just going out to the local band, you know, forums and pitching your band.
No, I think you're right.
You also had to be a regular on those boards for anybody to even give you the time of day. So, you know, I'm like... Oh, God, people in Baltimore are going to kill me, but in Annapolis especially. I'm not all that great a fan of Jimmy's Chicken Shack, but I was going on their boards to see if I could get people, you know, to... Yeah, I was going on the Jimmy board trying to get people to come out to your show, you know?
I mean, it's a different time, but people don't understand how important folks like you were to bands, you know, 15 years ago. You were like a street team almost. Like you believed in us. Like, we're one of the first people that saw us and believed in us and brought people out to see us. Like, that was huge. It's difficult to kind of put, how to quantify that. You know, you were almost integral to sort of the success of the band. I don't know, does that make sense to you? Like,
no, it does. And I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm super special in any way other than the music, in all honesty. And I still say this 15 years, 16 years later, it meant that much to me. I mean, it really did. What y'all were doing then touched my soul in ways I can't put it into words. I've tried. I used to fancy myself a poet, and I tried in so many ways and so many different times to just put it in, put pen to paper and, you know, write about what that, what y'all meant to me then. It was so hard for me when stuff started, you know, things happen and, you know, slowed down and, y'all just, you know, the band wasn't what it was for one reason or another. And then, you know, after, Ray Ray leaving us, I just, it's so hard for me as being one of those people. And my support came with a price. It was at the time I felt, that y'all were like part of my lifeblood. And then I felt like, you know, with some of the band changes that went on, I just felt like it was ripped out from underneath me, and I took it very, very personally. And there are some people, even now, 10, oh God, it's probably been 12 years since, that I pissed off so bad, they probably still don't want to have anything to do with me. But it just, what it was those 15 years ago, what?
It was all very personal.
Like
Special to
I don't
us.
Think... I don't know many people that get that way about local band that they're into.
Well, you know, it's funny because last show I did was with Dan, and we were talking about, the Mayan Factor was bigger than just the guys in the band. You know, it wasn't. It's not just the couple of guys playing. It's everybody that was invested in it. You know, it's not just. It wasn't just us. Like, to say that you weren't part of the Mayan Factor would be selling the Mayan Factor short. People were emotionally invested in it and were definitely part of the success of it, I think.
Yeah.
So I guess I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, for me, that's part of what's so exciting about what's going on over the course of the past, like, I guess I've seen and felt it slowly over the course of the past 12 months, especially with you coming back. And then there are just little things where I'm like, I'm actually excited, and I haven't actually seen y'all out yet live. Because it's one of those things, like, I've tried before and it hasn't quite, lived up. And I have literally, I'm going to say this probably, and you have to know this is where the vodka comes in from earlier. I have left shows over the course of the past, they've done certain shows over the course of the past 4 years where I've left in tears. Because I was sad, because I had such high expectations, and I don't know. I guess I'm just super judgy. People say that about me. I'm super judgy, but where I would, and I guess I'm kind of scared, because I have a feeling if I went to a show now, just watching from the fans' reaction that have been to the shows the past couple of months with y'all, that I probably wouldn't leave in tears, but I'd probably leave because I was happy. It's just a really, them's high rolls on the dice.
Our expectation when we got together with Lenny wasn't very, like, my initial expectation wasn't very high, because I didn't know who this guy was. We just got together and something happened when we all played together. We all felt it. We got it. Like, we were like, wow, that's that special thing. And we're hoping that people get that too. And I think they're, our harshest critics, like the people who, I think, at least for me, I can't speak for the rest of the band, are going to be the folks that were the closest to us. And like, we're trying to line up a show in the Baltimore area coming up soon, and I hope to play for, I hope you guys can come out and see us, and that you feel what we felt. Like, we were like, we did this and we're like, wow, that's that special thing, and this is worth doing again. And I hope that you guys give us a chance.
Yeah. I mean, you do something within 3 hours of me, dude, I'll be there. Hell, maybe even just, I'd settle on an hour and a half, 2 hours, But yeah, you do a show locally, and hell yeah, I'll be there with Pelf.
I got a couple things written down. If you don't tell me about the mojo... And why your dog is named Mojo? And I know it might be.
That's such a simple story, though, man.
It might be a tenuous.
Okay, that's fine.
So tell me about the mojo, because the mojo was like we had this like this time, and we touched on it in previous podcasts, but like Emoji was kind of a special time, I think, for everybody. Like, you know, we were playing the shows, it's Monday nights, people were coming out and jamming. So you named your dog after Emoji. And there's also, if we don't talk about Tony, I think we've missed.
Tony's going to be pissed.
Yeah, of course. Well, we'll have Tony on. I think we talked about having Tony on. But if we don't talk about this, I think we miss part of the story. Part of the story. Like, Tony was, the Maya Factor was hosting an open mic night at the Mojo. It's a small club that used to be called Cafe Tattoo. And Andy Bott bought it in Baltimore and turned it into the Mojo. He revamped it. And, man, he just took this shitty little club and made it something awesome. It was like two levels. It was great.
It was so shitty, but it was awesomely shitty.
Well, yeah, no, I absolutely, it was like this little dive bar, but it had two levels, you know, and for a time, there was nothing else going on in Baltimore on Mondays except for that.
That happened on Mondays. Yeah. The most important thing to say about Mojo is that most people look forward to their weekends.
Yeah.
anybody that was regularly going out to Mojo, we couldn't wait for Monday night.
Yeah. Yeah, no
Monday
doubt.
Was our weekend, and it was all about just making it through the weekend till we could get to Mojo. And I think, you know, yeah, it was open mic, but there was a lot of interesting shit going on. I mean, you had guys that were still pinning their hopes on, you know, just doing music for a living out of Baltimore, which anybody that is that hungry is going to just put out beautiful shit to anybody that comes to, you know, and if the only gig they're getting is open mic night, it's still beautiful and it's raw. And there were a lot of starving, I mean, just guys that really just wanted to make it out there professionally. And some of them are now, like Ed Meenan is still out there killing it. I know that Gene Gregory, those guys, they're still out there doing it. And I think some of them are even doing it full time.
What was that guy, Kip? Was he Kip? He played like the acoustic, like that real.
Yeah, I do. I wonder about him because I lost touch with him over the years and don't have any friends in common. But there was, you know, there's beauty in the madness of what that night was. And y'all just looked at it like that was your practice space. And I watched y'all work out your second album there.
Well, that was the idea. It was
start to finish.
Yeah.
Like
we practiced on, you know, on Saturdays, but then, you know, we would have a live practice, you know, to vibe off the crowd and see how people reacted to what we were doing. So,
Watching and listening week to week as that album developed. And then I'm not going to lie, like even some of the stuff that wound up, the finished product on that second album, I didn't think it was going to go that way. So, of course, being the Nazi fan that I was disappointed. There was a lot of shifting that went on in the band at that point in time that, you know, that I had a hard time with. But by the same token, I mean, I am. I am the girl that got married in 2007. So this is, what, 4 or 5 years later, that put a dedication to the Mojo Vibe Night crew and the band itself in my wedding. In my wedding, like, what's that? The little pamphlet you give out to...
To people coming.
I'm the one who basically dedicated my ceremony, you know, with extra special thanks to, you know, Mojo and Mayan Factor and that whole crew, because I met my husband at that. He was, you know, he came out every Monday and was doing the Perilous Peanuts of Pouncing Percussion. I still remember it.
The Jumping Peanuts of Perilous Percussion.
Well, he changed it up a little bit every week, but, you know, it always had to do with his mad percussion skills, and which to this day he's still like, that, you know, he does that and it lays me at his feet, basically. But met my husband there, named our first dog that we got right after we got married, named him Mojo. After the Mojo, and I'm still, like, you know, you and JoJo are still some of our closest friends. I'm still, even though, you know, Tony and I aren't married anymore, we are the closest of friends. So that says something. It says a lot about the people you come across in that kind of, it was just magical. I don't know. It sounds
changed
their
lives. It changed my life. It changed, I think it changed your
lives. It literally changed my life. And I don't view music the same anymore. I'm ruined. I'm ruined for music. There's Mojo in the background now. I don't know if you can hear him, but
Mojo, he's
a border collie blue healer mix. So he's black and white and speckled all over.
Like ridiculously smart. Like the dog is like brilliantly ridiculously smart. He is a beautiful dog, but crushingly smart. Like I'm sure if he could talk, he would.
Yeah, he'd be like, fuck you guys. Yeah, that's basically what he'd say to all of us all the time. Because
you've got him,
beyond.
He's brilliant, and then he's got to hang out with Karma. And he's like, what is this?
Oh, come on.
I mean, Karma, she's a sweet dog. She's just dumb.
here's how I explain it to people. Karma has epilepsy. Every time she has a seizure, she is literally dying a little bit right in front of me and losing brain cells at the same time. So, yes, the older she gets, the dumber she gets. But I'm okay with that. I'm okay with, and I give her the medicine just like I should, but it, you know, doesn't stop what ails her. And you know, but see, you know, I love it. You know, well, I don't love it when she runs up the stairs and runs into the stairs more than up them, but you know, it's more time that she has with us. But
both those dogs are great.
Thanks.
Both those dogs.
Anyway, so I told the story about the Mojo. I don't know how you're going to clip that into it, but. And I know that somehow you
Maya Factor got back together with Lenny, one of the first times that we posted, I think it was a Periscope show.
Yeah,
not even
I was
a
there,
Periscope
kind
show.
Kind of.
I can remember because I'm, you know, this is all new technology to me. You know, they were telling me about it, so I downloaded it to my phone, and we did the show, and it was, you know, I was able to watch back, and I think with Periscope, you know, it's only on there for so long. And I can remember, you know, watching back on what we played, and I thought it sounded pretty good. And I can watch people posting and posting. And I remember Maria was on there, and she said something about, you know, Bryna, say something. But I remember you didn't say anything. But I knew you were there.
No, I did say I was there. I did. Okay. I'm like, I'm here.
Yeah, I knew you were there.
Took me a minute. Yeah.
I'm going to ask you what you thought about that. I'm going to ask you what you were thinking, but I'm going to say what I thought first.
Okay.
I think that it was, you know, it was a reaction like I had a reaction the first time where it was like, I don't know what this is, but it kind of feels right, and I don't know how to interpret it. I didn't know how to interpret your silence, but that's kind of how I interpreted it, which was tentative optimism.
Do you want the God to honest truth, and it's something that people are going to twist it whatever way they will, but you know how I mean it coming from me. I was so hopeful, like going into it, that everything was going to be perfect and, you know, everybody would just find their fills in time and all that, and that's not necessarily how it played out. But that's okay. I was okay with that. I have been to shows in the past where I wasn't okay with that when that didn't happen. So it's a tenuous thread that you hold on to with anybody coming in, let alone your greatest fan. I mean, it's probably the strings a lot tighter and more taught with me, and you know, I'll stay there longer than anyone else should, because I have such love for the band. But I say it was tenuous in that, yeah, I was still there and I still watched, and I was still like, it was enough that, I mean, yeah, it wasn't, you know, So it wasn't like perfectly rehearsed, and you didn't have, you know, there were gaps, but y'all were never a perfect performing band, and that's never why I loved you.
No, so, yeah, that never was the, you know, we wanted to create
exactly.
Like an emotion.
I think for me, there was a little bit of me that was like, holy fuck, Lenny actually works. This guy works. Never met him before. But I'm like, oh, yeah, he actually works. From a longtime fan, and I wouldn't want anybody that's worked with the band in the past to take it the wrong way, but you can't be Ray Ray. Nobody could be Ray Ray. You just want somebody that can come in and own it as themselves. And I think that's where, you know, that's where my tenuous thread comes in, where I was like, this could work. Just give it some time. Just hanging in there. And that's kind of what I felt the whole time. Just giving it time, hanging in there. And, because I've been an asshole and haven't made it to show since, which, seriously, I have. You know, it's been one show, two and a half hours to the south, one, three to the north, didn't make it to either one of them. So, you know, I can keep my stinky judgments to myself for now, I think.
Well, I think that we've got one in the next couple months coming up in Baltimore area.
Good.
So I would hope that you reserve judgment for when we come and play there, and I hope that we meet your expectations. I think that's going to be important to play to those folks that have always believed in us. And I'm sure there are going to be some folks that just, you know, hey, this isn't what I remember it was. But I'm hoping that there are folks that are willing to come along.
I really don't think after, you know, because if you think about it, I'm kind of the biggest bitch of them all there is out of the whole group.
Well, I mean, I wasn't going to say it.
Just ask other people in the band. Come on. You know, I'm the one that was like, okay, I'm done. Peace out. Happy for you, but not going to support you. And I don't know why I was that way. You know, you live and you learn, you grow the fuck up. it sounded great. The Periscope sounded great. I mean, yeah, it was practice. But I would have killed to be sitting there on that couch that night.
I think that you're going to be pleasantly surprised.
I think probably will be.
Like, we're in a different place now than when we actually posted that. Like, the songs are tighter. Not only that, we're writing a bunch of new songs, and I'd like to hope that when we
play. Well, you know how gay I am about new material.
When it comes to new material, I know you won't sugarcoat it. Let's put it that way. I know that.
Now, I am kind of an asshole like that, but by the same token, that there's nobody that loves y'all more.
Still. Thanks for being on the temple tonight.
No worries, babe. Anytime.
Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap it up?
No. I don't think so. Should I be saying something? Like, Harambe Gay lives or something? I don't know what I should be saying.
I'll say, I think I speak for the rest of the guys, is thanks for always supporting us for as long as you have. We wouldn't be what we are if you hadn't supported us. I think that's a fair thing.
Aww. That's sweet. I might cry a little, but I'm not going to.
No.
I'll save that for the show, and then I'll be bawling all over the place, and y'all won't be able to stop it.
So I'm sure we'll see you soon. Thanks for being on the podcast tonight. Take care, Brian.
No problem. Bye-bye.